Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning to you, church. So happy you're here. Welcome. And for the most part, those that come here often, every first of the month, we have a corporate communion. That is, the church joins together and in celebration of the Lord's Supper. All the other days, every Sunday, there's communion available in the back for you to do individually or take your family or friend back there. But communion is something that that we do acknowledge, and that we have. We thank God for reminding us of what He did on that cross. So as the servants are passing out the elements, whenever we get done, please pass them to the sides and they'll pick them up from you. But what I'd like to do is read while they're passing the elements. I'm going to read out from the book of Isaiah. I think that's where I'm going. Yes. And this is from Isaiah 52 and some of 53. And it says, "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, and yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We're all like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And by oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished." And just a picture of what our Lord Jesus went through on the cross. And in Corinthians, Paul tells us that when we do this, that we do this in remembrance. And, you know, for me to read that, you can see all the suffering, all the mocking that Jesus took as he was led to pay for our sins. And so when we do communion, this is not, just a tradition or just a good thing that good Christians do every Sunday or whatever it is. This is important. It was important for Jesus to administer and tell his disciples. It was important for Paul to later on still keep it alive. And, they practiced the act of communion. So it's these things are symbols. They're reminders. And so when we take these elements, just know that. This is just that what the Word says, that to do it in remembrance of what Christ did. So this morning, we'll start off with the element of the bread. And in Corinthians, it says that after that, that night, the night they were betrayed, after Jesus broke bread, he gave thanks. And he told his disciples to take the bread. And please do that. He said that in the same way that he offered the cup, which was a symbol of the blood that he would shed on that cross. And I always think about that when you read more into what Jesus went through on that cross. He really didn't have any more blood to give. And so, all that shed for you, please take the cup. And just take a minute and remember, keep it deep in your heart. Thank you. You can go back to worship.
The blessing of the gift that God's given us. It's so powerful and it's so strong. And sometimes, choosing to make that room, God, whatever you've called me to, God, whatever you have for me, God, whatever you want to do, I'll move the things in my life. Because this is what I want. Because there's blessing in the surrender. There really is. When you make that choice to say, God, you're what's important. You're the priority in my life. You're the thing that I'm placing up here. You'll just begin to see things in your life. Just start to move around. Because now you're not walking in your will, but you're walking in His. You're not doing what you want over what He's telling you. And you begin to walk in blessing. You really do. Holy Shandra. And it's not always going to seem popular. It's not always going to even make sense. But I promise you, that if you allow Him to guide your steps in every single thing you do, He will not fail you. His word tells you that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to shift songs here. But I think it's perfect for this. Because as we go into this next song, let's just thank Him for the good, for the bad, where He's bringing forth good. Because the Bible tells us that all things work together for good. It doesn't matter what it is in your life. All things work together for good. Anything you're going through now, anything that's coming, I'm telling you, it's to build you up. It's to take you where He wants for you to go. It's to teach you. It's to mentor you. It's to bring forth new things within your life. And sometimes it is a great blessing just to say, thank you. regardless of what I'm seeing, regardless of what's happening, I know I'm blessed, and I thank you for what you're doing in my life.
I just want to say thank you to the pastors of this church. Just like in the previous song says, I don't know about, if you don't know yet, our church is a little weird. We do things differently here. Amen. Yes, that's a good thing. But just like in the previous song, it says, you know, break down the walls of all our traditions and our religions. And that's what the pastors have done in this church. What they have done, they've done away with that, and they've made room for God to do what he wants to do. And for me personally, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up going to church. And yeah, that's all good and great. But it wasn't until I started coming to this church that my relationship with God really took off. And it's because the pastors of this church, that's their whole thing, is for us to be independently dependent on God. So I just want to say thank you, pastors. Thank you.
There's somebody here this morning. Faith for you is going to be taking the step when you feel like it is not the right step because it's scary. But that's exactly what faith is. And the Bible says, with faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Let's just put that in perspective. Just know this morning that you are powerful because of what he's placed within you. He created you to be exactly who he needed you to be, exactly who he wanted you to be. There's no flaw, no mistake. There was no, oops, I didn't mean to do that. Everything in your life is to bring you to where he wants you to be. So something as small as this, praising God through the storm, can be breakthrough in your life. Sometimes that is faith, right? Saying, God, I know I got victory, even when I don't see victory. God, I worship you through this because I know that your words promise that all I need to do is be still, that you'll fight the battles for me. So know this morning that you've got victory. You already got it. So when we sing, thank you, Lord, it's because you know that it's yours. Just sing it this morning knowing it's mine. Victory is mine because your word promised that it's mine and that you'd never leave. And he hasn't. He is there for you. Exactly what you need is exactly what he has for you. So just go to him because he will give you exactly that thing, that word, that encouragement, that joy, that peace, whatever it is that you're needing, he will give it to you. Just go to him. Allow him to just take control of the situation, to take control of what's happening in your life, because it's not you, it's him within you.
Amen. God has such blessings for us, even when we don't know how to ask. Once we have Jesus in our life, and then he gives us the Holy Spirit to intercede when we just don't know what to ask for. And sometimes things get tough. Back when COVID started, we were in Massachusetts, and we had dreams to come out here. We had plans, 10, maybe 12 years to retire and come out here. And sometimes the blessings can be in the hard time, because all of a sudden my husband lost his job. And then our 10-year plan turned into 10 months. And it was tough. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know if we were going to sell. We didn't know if we were going to rent. He came out here. We had COVID. We couldn't have interviews. I mean, our entire lives are testimonials. We need to use our stories for his good. We all have stories. We all have backgrounds. We all have hardships. We all have it. That's how we find God, because we don't know the good until we have the bad. And we can use our stories for his glory. We were able to come out here, find jobs, gain back. Like Job, my husband was in the service for 10 years. And working with Davis Monthan now, he was able to buy back those 10 years and be sitting at year 11, not year one. We were able to be out here with our kids, with our grandkids. We got to see our grandson be born this year. He has such blessings. Even when we don't know how to ask, he's got the Holy Spirit with us. If we just ask Jesus into our lives and we let him take over, we surrender those things, he has such blessings for us. And don't be afraid to use your stories. Your stories, your testimonies, you are his sons and daughters. We are made in his glory. We are his children, and he can use us if we let him, if we surrender. Even when it's so scary and you don't know what to do, he can use all things together for his good. Thank you.
It seems like we all have a lot of the same message. God is so good throughout anything and everything. And what the enemy meant to destroy you, to harm you, to take from you, God can restore, redeem, and make good what he meant to destroy us with. As long as we have our faith, as long as we believe that he can turn things around. This day of the month is my favorite month, time of the month, because we as a corporate, you know, corporately, we celebrate the Last Supper with our Lord. This is the time that we need to just put aside everything that we're going through. Leave outside the door when you come into the church to receive him, to hear his answers, to him, to have him speak to you. And then don't just hide it. God has given each and every one of us a blessing. He has empowered us by the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be eloquent, because you know what? He is. His word is eloquent. If you look throughout the Bible, he used people that were just ordinary, average people. We had people who were drunkards. We had people who were stutterers. We had people who would never dream of talking to a group of people. And you don't have to worry about that, because the only thing you need to do is everyday communion with him. Talk to him. It's not about being on your knees. And although there's times when you're prostrate before him, but there's other times too when you're just talking to him. It's a conversation. And in the moment that you need something, he quickens to your spirit. He speaks to you so that you can take care of whatever it is that needs to be done. There's times throughout my day as I'm at work, he tells me to say something to somebody. And some of these somebodies, I don't know who they are. But you know what? God knows. And in my obedience, somebody receives a word they needed, that they asked for. And then there's tears, because they know there is a mighty God that is on the throne, and he's for each and every one of us. There isn't anything that you haven't gone through that someone else hasn't, but you can share your life with someone. You can make a difference, because you can say, I've been there, I've done that. So often people will look at you and think you have it all together. And you know what? You don't. And then you can tell them, you know, I was where you are right now. Isn't that beautiful to be able to give hope to somebody because of the fact that you listen to what he's telling you? So don't be ashamed of your testimony. Your testimony could save a life. And so just know that God is with you. And today, he, through the Holy Communion, we have been empowered. We have his Holy Spirit. We have what we need to go forth. So don't hide under that bushel. You've got a story to tell. You have a talent to share. God doesn't want you to hide your talents or for just you and Him to know it. He wants you to share it. So know that God equips you, and there isn't any time that you have to wait. If He tells you, speak, speak. Your eloquence will be your story. Your eloquence will be the Holy Spirit. And the most beautiful thing about that is, like, for me, when the Holy Spirit talks through me, I forget what it is, because we can't take His glory. We have to give it to Him. And every single day, you guys, you can go from moment to moment, glory to glory, victory to victory. And in those moments when we don't have that victory, know that you're not alone and that He is strengthening you and He is going to bring that victory. It just, sometimes we have to go through steps. And it's okay to go through steps, because that's what makes you stronger, and that's what makes your testimony better. So today, if you're just feeling under a cloud, today you walk out in victory. Today you walk out with healing, your mind, your body, your spirit, whatever it is your need is. And know that those that you pray for, He's listening. He hears you. He sees every tear that you cry, and He knows who you are. So don't be a stranger to Him. And don't just call on Him when you need it. Just like today, we've been thanking Him. And so praise God for who we are, for this church, for our pastors, for our music ministry, for those who are in ministry in different areas, even those who clean the house. That's a ministry. Every chair has been prayed over. Everybody that sits in this church has been prayed for before you sit down. And so when you come on Sunday, come prepared to open your heart, to leave behind the nonsense that's bothering you. And it isn't nonsense. It's your heart, and it's what you're going through. But leave it behind, so when you walk through this door, you can hear Him and you can see what your answer is, and be strengthened that as you go forth and during the week, that you have people to bless. You have yourself to just share with Him, Lord, this is my heart, this is what I'm feeling. And it's okay to tell Him I'm disappointed. It's okay to tell Him whatever it is you're feeling, because He's going to lift you up. Read the Psalms, read the scriptures that are going to make a difference for you. Find the word you're going to stand on. Find the word that it praises Him in the midst of all your trials. Be loved and love Him in return. He deserves that and so much more. So have a great week.
You know, there's a scripture, you know, Jeremiah 33:3, where it says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. And I always grab that scripture, you know, on layoffs, and sometimes I feel alone or something like that. But the thing is, I grab that scripture and I says, Lord, I claim it. And I claim that scripture because it's you speaking to me and to all of us. You know, and the thing is that when I was coming down the highway, you know, I hate this cold. I don't like that cold. I don't like the heat. But the thing is, I said, Lord, I want this climate, I mean, this weather, you know, to be like it was in the beginning when you created the garden, you know. If they were walking naked, that means, you know, it wasn't cold. And they weren't walking because, you know, it was hot. It was because they were sitting in the heavenly places, you know. They didn't need to know about good or evil. That lion serpent there, you know, he had no business in that tree. But the thing is that God, you know, told Adam and says, you can have everything right here, except out of that tree of knowledge and good and evil. But the thing is, you know, that he was, you know, he was, they were walking, you know, and it says that God, well, he used to walk with Adam in the morning. And we can do the same thing right now, because we are sitting in the heavenly places. Amen. We are sitting in the heavenly places. And we don't need this wind. I mean, this cold right now, you know, this morning, as I was coming down the highway, I said, I bind you and I send you out to driest places. You don't have no business here. It's a spirit. And every knee shall bow in the heavens and the earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that that the Lord is master. Amen. And we got to claim it. You know, I always say, you know, exaggerate the word of God. They're talking about exaggerating the word of God means claiming it in the name of Jesus. And when he says, call unto me and I will answer you, show you great and mighty things that you don't know of. Lord, I want you to show me those great things I don't know of. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. It is cool. I mean, it's beautiful, you know, knowing the word that, you know, that he's not a man that he should lie, or son of man that he will repent. If he said he will do it, he will promise it, he will not reverse it. And he always compares himself with us. A man that should not lie. A man that should not repent. And we claim that. And what he says right there, I thank you, Lord. We thank him for everything that he's done in our lives. We thank him where he pulled me out of the streets out there. You know, even friends of mine, you know, brothers and sisters of mine, you know, they didn't know what kind of life I had, you know. They didn't see me out there in the streets out there about 3 o'clock in the morning all by myself, you know, because the party was over. But it wasn't over for me. Why? Because my void was still empty. And God filled that void. Since 1982, just count it because I can't. I can't count it. But the thing is that God is that when he pulled me out, you see. Oh, religion. Yeah, exactly. Religion is boring. Yeah. But relationship with God, it's a party. It's a party. And we cannot leave it. Amen. Praise God. You know, he is what he is. He said that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Who wants drugs? Huh? He says, I'm happy. Yeah, clowns make you happy. But God makes you joyful. Amen. Amen. And I praise God for that. Thank you, Lord.
Amen, amen. When Reuben was speaking, I remember the Holy Spirit brought to my attention when we were in Hawaii, and we were listening to the pastor preach, and he goes, you know, Hawaii's got about a 3-degree threshold. If it's 3 degrees above 75, they're too hot. And if it's 3 degrees below 75, they're too cold. And I'm thinking, they would have a lot of trouble living out in Arizona. You know? But my family is here because we are all kings and priests. And every one of you have a message. But it may not be your time to give that message. But that message is buried in your heart. And because you're a priest, God is going to give you a message to give to us. Amen. You know, and because we have an open mic here, everyone has an opportunity to give that message. You go into the churches today, you have one man speaking to you every week, and it's the same message. But everyone has a different message. And everyone here has a seed that God's going to grow. And in your Kairos season, he's going to put you up here and you're going to speak to us, and it's going to help us to get closer to him and his kingdom. Amen. And that's why this church is special, is because we all have the opportunity to get up here and speak what's in our heart. And sometimes we may say things that may not resonate with you, and you say, what is this guy talking about? But guess what? You have that opportunity to speak, and I believe your time is all going to come real soon, when you all will have a special message for everyone here. Amen? Amen.
I'll try my best to read this. I hope it's meaningful for somebody today. At times it's hard to move ahead, and all of life just stops. Our troubles loom, the tears begin and flow bigger with each drop. It's then we must look upward and gaze upon the sky and stop our troubles in their tracks, no more questioning why. God is good, he always cares, even when we're faced with gloom. He can repair our thinking, but we must give him room. So seek his presence at these times. He will supply an answer. God is pure love. He cares for you. He never lets you down. So place a smile upon your face and not start with a frown. Trust his promises. He is there. He's right beside you, and he does care.
You know, a little bit ago, Micaiah mentioned that we don't do things like other churches. And, you know, we are different. And I know that not only I, but you're all blessed that you're blessed with the testimonies that come from here. You're blessed with the prophecies that come through here. And you're blessed with the word that comes from the pulpit. And even from the moment that we walk in that door, just that fellowship, just being around each other, God's blessing his children. We like hanging out with each other. But you know what the best part of our service is? It's the worship. You know, as we all praise God through this time, this is a time for him. The word, the testimonies, whatever that is, that's for us to hear, to lift us. But that worship, it's all about him. And so, don't come late. Partake in the worship that this church takes. From the moment that you walk in that door, church begin. You are with people that love Jesus just like you do. And from that moment on, come. Give him what you brought. Bring something for him. Don't just come receiving. Bring something for him. Bring your heart. Bring your praises. Bring your worship. It's not about coming in and thinking, well, I wonder what I'm going to hear today from the pastor. It's what do you have to give back? And so, I do thank God. Just as that song says, thank you. Thank you for blessing this church. Thank you for blessing us as individuals. Just thank you that, as we've said, this church is different, but we're blessed. Amen. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that you didn't make us another cookie-cutter church. That's right. That's a heck of a beginning, huh? Well, since we like beginnings, that's where I'm going to start today. Genesis 1:28. And God said that, I asked him, what's my message about? He says, well, start at the beginning. Take your time, go through the whole Bible, and end in Revelation. So I hope you guys are ready for a long day. No, it's just the beginning. So I'm going to read Genesis 1, 26 through 31. And the word says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And he said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And that God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground. Everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. One of the things that I noticed there, I think Adam and Eve were vegetarians, right? I said, where am I going to see the steak and the tacos in there? You know, it never came up. But the point of that scripture is that each day, you know, what really stood out to me when it says it was very good. Every day that creation took place, this is the sixth day. And every day he would end, it is very good. All he created was very good. And you think, well, how can it not be? This is God, right? But the thing was that on that sixth day, man was the last part of God's creation. It's kind of like thinking he saved the best for last, right? But as you look at that, it's like what came to my mind is that all this preparation, all, you know, let there be light, let there be day and night, whatever it was, it's a preparation for that sixth day when he would finally create the most important part of his creation. And what came to my mind was, you think about it, you that have had, probably most of us had little babies, and you prepare that room, you prepare everything, just getting ready for that baby's arrival, right? Everything has to be perfect. Everything, you know, I want the crib here, I want the, you know, his little clothes to be over here, and, you know, it is a special moment, and everything has to be just right. This is your first baby. This was God's first baby. You think about it, he was born a little big, but but all in all, this was like God's first baby. And so hopefully when you think of that, you can relate to the fact that he wanted all things to be just right for this new child that he was going to bring into the world. And so all that man would ever need would be set. Everything was all ready for him. He was ready to bring man into the world. And then he placed them in this beautiful garden. You know, he didn't even have to go out there with a hose and water. The water would just come out of the ground and take care of all the vegetation. So he placed them in this beautiful garden. And not only could they enjoy the beauty of it, but the most important part is that God would walk with him in that garden. His presence was with him all the time. And to think that, you know, it's like thinking that this is like heaven on earth, right? That's pretty much what it was. God wanted that heaven to be on this earth. And that's what he created for man. So when we think about, you know, we always say man, but it wasn't just Adam, you know. He was created for, he even gave him a helper. Probably he says that man was his greatest creation. I think woman was, you know. And so thank God for that. You know? Yeah, see? Here we go, Stella. Mighty women. We just can't win, you know. So it was heaven on earth. No sickness, no pain, no death. No word. Just enjoy your garden, hang out with God. I mean, think about that. What more could a man ask for, right? Verse 28, I'll read that again. It says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Man was to rule over the earth. God gave him dominion over all his creation after everything it created. And then, of course, we know that all would be lost by one choice, one wrong choice that man made. He listened to the wrong voice. And here we go. The woman listened to it anyway. The woman listened to the wrong voice, and poor Adam, you know, I mean, no, it was definitely, that's right. Oh, we know that. Definitely a joint venture. So anyway, their choice, turns out that man gave up all that beautiful garden, that heaven on earth that was given to him, just for a wrong choice. But now let's go get some good news. Let's go to Romans 5:15. All right, 5:15, we're going to read through 19. It says, but the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. And those are the good news. And so Jesus came to restore all that Adam had relinquished, and to place all things as God has designed it. God's design wasn't for us to be sick or to die or to be trampled on. As I said earlier, his design was that we would rule, that we would subdue. And up until Jesus, that wasn't true. His coming and message was not only about salvation, but about a kingdom that not many understood. And before I go on, I want to give a perk to Randy. What I'm speaking of today is just a glimpse, a part of what the kingdom is about. But Randy is having a Bible study on Wednesdays that really elaborates on what the kingdom of God is. And so I really encourage you guys to come Wednesday to Wednesday's Bible study at 6 o'clock. But God is really wanting his church to focus on his kingdom today. And a lot of Pastor Henry's sermons as of late have been in that area, the kingdom of God. And it was really funny because when I started getting notes for my sermon, I was going in this direction, and then I came to Randy's Bible study, and I thought, he's going to think that I got all his notes and I'm talking on his name. But that's where God's speaking today. He wants us to be aware of the kingdom that kingdom that belongs to us, the kingdom that we're a part of. And so, and even as the word says, right, seek first the kingdom of God and all will be added. And so maybe there's a point there, huh? If we go in that direction, all the rest of the stuff that isn't quite making sense to us or we're not quite getting a grasp of, once we start seeking the kingdom, maybe it'll all make sense. Or maybe no maybes, it will make sense. So back to Jesus, enough of Randy. it's always a good thing to go back to Jesus, right? So many of his teachings concerning the kingdom were done in parables, stories that those he was speaking to could relate with. He would always start with, the kingdom of God is like a fishnet. And then he would elaborate on what that was. The kingdom of God was like a hidden treasure. And then we would elaborate on that. The kingdom of God was like a mustard seed. The kingdom of God was like a man who sowed good seed. And I encourage you to look at the Gospels and see what other ways he spoke to the people that he taught about that kingdom. He tried to make it easy. These are things that the people of those days could understand. And so, you know, Jesus was just saying, this is a lot more simple than you guys are making it, you know what I mean? But yet people couldn't understand what Jesus was trying to bring into this earth. They thought he was going to come and get a bunch of soldiers and just take everybody down, you know, but that wasn't what he was talking about. He was talking about a kingdom that would last forever, a kingdom that today we can be a part of. So he came not only to save us, but also to demonstrate by example what a kingdom resident should look like. He healed the sick. He cast out demons and showed his power over nature. His demonstrations were not only for his disciples, but also for us today. And he said that in his name, we could do even greater things. That in itself seems kind of hard. Whenever you see what Jesus did, you go, I can't even do the first part of what he did, but we can. So I chose a couple of scriptures and just to see how Jesus did what he did. And of course, there's many, 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 but there I just chose two or three of them to preach out of. So let's go to Mark 1:29. Okay. And it starts off with right before verse 29, there he was healing. He was doing what he does. And he says, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and all the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I've come." So, typical day in the life of Jesus, right? He just left an area that he was praying for people, and he goes to, supposedly he's thinking, if I go to this house, I'm going to be able to just relax a little bit and enjoy company. Well, first thing he has to do is pray for somebody that's got a fever. And as he does this, he just continues with his ministry. And so you think about it, this is his day, but how do our days compare to what he does? He goes from one to another doing what God sent him to do. But verse 35, and I'll read that again. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Okay. He found time. He found time to be on his own with his Father and be able to hear, be able to talk to him, be able to tell him what his heart was going through. And so you think about, you know, his schedule, if you want to call it, you know, it's from one incident, one event to another event. And then as it says, as soon as they found him, they're going, come on, let's go. We got to go somewhere else. It didn't stop for him, but he found that if he had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever that was, he had to find that time to be alone with his Father. And so that's kind of my question, you know, how do we set out our days? Jesus made time to be with his Father, to hear his will for the day. We also know that he knew the scriptures. He was teaching them when he was 12 years old, right? So he was well educated in the scriptures. He was a man of prayer. So here's a lesson for us. Do we want to be like Jesus? We always kind of say that, right? I want to be like Jesus. Just check out some of what he did and think of his compassion and his passion to just keep going day after day and minute after minute. And there wasn't anything that would stop his heart for people. If somebody needed to be prayed for, he would do that. So if we want to be like Jesus, then we should know what is in this Bible. Are they just words, or are they rooted in our hearts? Rooted in our hearts that we can trust their power, that we can be able to depend on what this word says and know that it's the truth. And are we giving God priority for each day, just as Jesus did? Jesus was always prepared. He didn't just set out hoping for a positive outcome. I can imagine him going and knowing that what his mission was for the day as he walked to that, let's say, the man at the pool and thinking, well, Father, you told me that this was going to work, but I hope you're right. You know, I hope this is going to, you know. There was no doubt. There was no doubt in what Jesus was about to do. And there was nothing that would deter him. He knew it was already done. He just had to declare it to be so. That's all it was. And you got to also look at that. The healings were done in different ways. You know, Jesus didn't have a 10-step program. And I was like, the last time I got some mud and I put it in this guy's eyes, so if anybody's blind, I get to do that again. You know, another time it was different. You know, he put spit in the guy's eyes. You know, what happened to the mud, right? And sometimes I wonder, you know, where we're at with that. There's books written as to how to pray and what, you know, what brings healing or whatever. And the only book we need is this right here. This is all we need. And just as we said earlier, that we are independently dependent on him. And that every time we pray for someone, every time that we encounter a situation, it isn't about how it worked the last time. It's what do you want to do with this person? This is an individual for God. It isn't putting them all in a big plate or a big cup. Whoever it is that you're praying for, that God told you to pray, this is God's special child. So what does God specially want to do for that person? Don't lump him up with all the prayers that have worked for you, because he may want to be doing something just a little bit different this time. And you look at the way that Jesus would pray. Short prayers. You know, rise. Be opened, whatever, and be quiet, come out. Do we sometimes spend more than a few minutes with people? You know, there's nothing wrong with loving them and just spend time with them and encouraging and all that. But you never see an example of Jesus doing that. It was always, let's get her done, you know. It was him going out there and just wanting to, you know, whatever that issue was, let's just bring it to pass. Let's declare it done, because it was already done. The Father, as we said earlier, if it gives you a word, go with it. Know that that's the truth. And so learn from some of the events that Jesus did. Let's go to one more. Mark 8:22. And it says, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes, there you go again, and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" Now he looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't go into the village." So I read this many times, and it says Jesus prayed twice, right? So you think about it, it must be okay if we pray four or five times, right? If Jesus can do two, it's okay to do four or five times and maybe have somebody get healed completely. But that's not so. This, you know, I used to think that this scripture was about progressive healing, but it's not. It's about unbelief. It's about unbelief, and which was one of Jesus' greatest obstacles, unbelief. And so when you look at something like this, it gives us an excuse to have doubt. It gives us an excuse to think, well, it didn't work this time, but, you know, it may not be God's timing, or maybe if I pray with him again, it would work. And so it kind of gives us a way out rather than to say, no, it's okay to continue to pray with somebody, but be asking God, what am I missing here? What is it that this person needs to hear? What is it that will bring that faith level where it needs to be? It's okay to continue to pray with someone, but it isn't okay to spend, you know, 3 hours with them. So the question rises here is that, why did Jesus take the man out of the city? It says that he grabbed him by the hand and he took him out of the city. And it was that the city had a very heavy spirit of unbelief. That whole city was filled with unbelief. And so to an extent, so did the man. But of course, that changed for him. Think about it. Going from never seeing anything to seeing vaguely, that would sure boost up my faith level, right? All of a sudden, you're seeing these things that look like trees. You know something's happening. And that would be enough to lift your faith up and say, you know, I'm here. Let's do this, you know? And so this scripture is about unbelief. It isn't about progressive healing. There should not be progressive healing. So not receiving a healing was not on Jesus. It was on him. So I'm going to share a personal testimony that is kind of in the same lines, but not quite. But when I was 15 years old, I had a car accident. And since that accident, I hurt my back. And I was able to, you know, I never had to get any surgeries or anything like that. But I always had issues with my back bothering me since I was 15. But I learned to live with it. I learned to just, you know, get up in the morning and kind of shake it a little bit and go on to work. But it was always a problem. It was always something that I had to deal with. And, you know, I do remember times that I even had to roll out of bed just to get up. So it could get that bad. And anyway, when I was in my mid-30s, we had started attending a church that believed in healing, the power of the Holy Spirit. But we were still newbies. We hadn't been there that long. But we were kind of starting to get a handle on maybe what healing was all about. But anyway, I remember coming home one day from work. And, of course, my wife, you know, women are good at that. You okay? my back, you know. Okay, he goes, lay down on the floor, she says. Lay down on your stomach on the floor. She was already a little bit ahead of me on this healing stuff. But anyway, she called my daughters. At that time, one was 10, one was 12. And she said, come on, girls, let's pray for your dad. So I laid on the floor and I thought, well, you know, this is okay. You know, nothing wrong with being prayed for. But as they laid their hands on me, and all I could hear, there wasn't any in the name of Jesus, none of that. It was all, Jesus, heal my daddy, you know, take away the pain. You know, we don't want him to hurt. You know, there was just loving words coming from my daughters. And as that progressed, I actually started feeling the muscles in my back starting to move. Things started happening back there, and I'm laying on my belly. I'm not doing anything different. So I'm laying on my stomach, and muscles in my back in that area that used to hurt started just moving. And I go, oh, something's happening here. You know? And so, you know, I was grateful for it. My daughters prayed. My wife prayed. And so I got up. I was feeling pretty good. You know, I got up, and next day, you know, it was so bad, I went to work. And as the day continued, I came back home that day, and I was still hurting. And this was my time. I said, pray for me again. I'm going to lay on. And I laid on my stomach again. By that time, it's kind of like this guy. My faith is saying, yeah, something happened. Something's going on. And brought my girls again. They prayed on me. And the same thing happened. Muscles started moving and all. And by that time, I'm going, yeah, this is God. And I am here to tell you that since that day, I have never had a back problem. It is a true thing. God can heal. And God healed my back after, like I said, I was in my mid-30s. So from 15, I struggled with this. And like I said, I called into work a few times because I just couldn't go. It wasn't that way. And so all that to say is that, you know, there's still things that I pray about. And sometimes I have to talk to my body and say, get in alignment with the Word of God. You know, because if we give it a little bit, they're going to come back, the enemy's going to come back and try to tell you, well, that was for then. You know, you're, this is for today. There's, you may be hurting more. And that's not true. And so I have never had a back problem to the point that I could say, I can't go on about my day. Or anything else, shoulders, whatever it is. They start bugging you. You say, in the name of Jesus, you don't belong there. Pain, you don't belong there. Speak to your body. We have a better communion with our own bodies because that's God gave us that. And so speak to your body. Speak to those areas that there's nothing in the world that the enemy would love to see than for you to wake up and say, I can't make it to church or I can't make it to wherever it is because of this pain or whatever it, you know, stand on his word. Stay with it. Let's go to, one more thing I wanted to mention too. I had made a note here. Is that when I said when you speak your body into alignment with the word of God, also remember this, that I think we all do. A lot of times we say, God, heal this part of my body, this area of my body. And then we go on, especially guys, some ladies. But you abuse your own body, right? You say, oh, that refrigerator? I'll get it. You know what I mean? And so not only did God bless us with the gift of healing, he gave us the gift of wisdom. So be smart, guys, girls. Know how far to do things. Know when it is to ask for help. Okay, one more scripture here. Matthew 8:23. And that's from 23 to 27. It says, then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him and saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? And then he got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. So the danger that the disciples were facing at that time was very real. They were facing a bad experience. But these were experienced sailors, right? They should have kind of had an idea as to what to do. But here they are calling out to Jesus. Call out to Jesus, and Jesus was able to calm the storm, calm their fear. So all that part says is that no matter how experienced you are and how well you think you got it together, you know, we've been on this Christian journey for years, you know, so I think I know what to do. We can't get by without calling out to Jesus. There's going to be things that happen, storms that happen in our life, and they can become overwhelming. But we are told that in the name of Jesus, we are to speak order to those storms, and that we can also move the mountains that are standing in our way. So can we do what Jesus did? He said that even greater things, and he commissioned us to do so. Right? So let's go to John 16. I'm going to read 13 through 15. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you of what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is Jesus' word to us. That's when he's talking to the disciples about leaving his Holy Spirit with us. You know, we always think that, you know, the disciples had it made. You know, they had Jesus to see exactly what he did. But we've got to be more made, right? He's right here. He's a part of who we are. And our mustard seed allowed us to come to a place where we believed and accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So when we said yes, we received all that he is, not just a portion. So all the faith that he has is now within us. We had mustard seed faith to say, yes, Jesus. But now we've got the fullness of Jesus and all the faith that he has. So why would we be deterred from anything when you see some of the things that he did in his ministry and the faith that he had when, like I said, he didn't walk up to somebody doubting or wondering if this was going to work. He just had to go there and declare. Because it was already done. It was already done. All he had to say is, it's done. And so that same faith is within each of us today. It is our choice to, by faith and by the power of the Holy Spirit, to release what is already true in the spirit realm and be manifested in the natural. We are to take our rightful place in the kingdom and not allow unbelief and doubt to come into our path. If God said it, it is so. Amen. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go through three scriptures, and I'm just going to read each one. And we're starting with Psalm 103. You're all familiar with these guys. And I'm reading from 1 through 5. And it says, praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now let's go to 1 Peter 2:24. And I know you guys are all familiar with it. I'll just read it from up there. 2:24 and 2:25 says, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And now we go to 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. However it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And I picked these three scriptures, and my gosh, you know, you could pick another three, and they're just as powerful. But to me, these are just an example of what I want to get across is, are these just nice words? Sometimes we hear this and we think, you know, yeah, you know, by his stripes we're healed, you know. Where are these just nice words, or do they dominate and become rooted in our hearts? Are these words having like roots that are just a part of who you are and not just something nice to say to your fellow Christian or to yourself. And so as you read this Bible, to take these words and let them permeate in your spirit, let them become a part of who you are, not just memorize. We can memorize all this stuff, but it may not have any meaning. We can show people that we haven't memorized. But other than that word being put out there, I'm not saying it has no validation. Anytime that his word is out there, it's got valid. But the point I'm making is that to let these words, to let this Bible speak to you, and to know that this is Jesus, this is God, this is the Holy Spirit that is making, wanting us to have an impact in us, to allow his Holy Spirit to work through us and in us. And that we, because of that, we don't allow the enemy to trample on us. The enemy would love nothing better than for us to not believe what is in this book. You really think about it. Even when he was in the garden, what did he tell Eve? Did God really say? You know, he was wanting to put doubt in Eve. And that's a lot of times where we come in. We read something and you go, oh, well, maybe that wasn't for me. Why not? Why aren't those words for you? God loves you as much as he loves the next person. His love is for each one of us as individuals. And so these words are what is going to give us that that place in our lives to stand in God's kingdom and not be trampled by the enemy. Please stand with me. Lord God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, I ask, Lord, that your word would be rooted, would be permeated within us, Lord. That we would not look at reading the Bible as just something good to do in order to satisfy our own thoughts or, you know, condemnations, whatever it would be, Lord. The Bible is your word, Lord. It's alive, Lord. Let that life be breathed within our spirits, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that that doubt and unbelief will not be a part of us. That you would lift that off of us, Lord. That we would not only when we pray for someone, but when we pray for ourselves, to know that there is no doubt, Lord. You've already done it. The healing is already within us. That we would just let your spirit flow, Lord, and do what you do, Lord. You heal, Lord. You speak to those demons, Lord, that sometimes want to run our lives, Lord. The things that come against our everyday, Lord. The storms that we have to face, Lord. You have reign over all. And Lord, that rain was there, and it was your design, Lord. Let us take, Lord, that Jesus' death on that cross, Lord, would not be something that we just think of a nice thing, Lord. He gave us back, Lord, what you had always designed for us. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. And I ask that you would just breathe joy, Lord, into this congregation. Breathe joy. Lord, I ask that you would give each person a word, Lord, to know how to pray for themselves, Lord. That if anyone here today, Lord, is feeling like something has stirred in their spirit, Lord, that, Lord, as they go, that they would know exactly how to pray, Lord. You have given us the authority. You have given us the wisdom, Lord. And you have given us your Spirit to lead us through. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. God bless you guys. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.